Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome back to Chip Chat. My name is Allison Klein. We're coming to you live from the Intel Developer Forum in San Francisco. And I am delighted to be joined by Das Kamhout, Principal Engineer and SDI Architect at Intel. Welcome, Das.
Hey, Allison. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's been a couple months since you've been on Chip Chat. Last time you were on talking to me about Cloud for All. And so why don't we just start with a definition of Cloud for All and what that means at Intel?
Well, basically, we believe that cloud should be for everyone. Cloud for all. And we believe there's probably tens of thousands of new clouds that can be enabled across the world. And how do we bring the technologies necessary so that any type of usage model can benefit from the technologies and attributes of a cloud?
In today's session, you talked about a concept of Cloud A and Cloud B types and their evolution within the data center. Can you just define what you mean by Cloud A and B?
Yeah, well, first of all, I need better names, but the basics, Cloud A and B. The first type of cloud was taking traditional infrastructure and it was making it available for people. So the construct of give me a server or give me storage is something people were very familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And so cloud type A was giving people that through self-service. So
mm-hmm.
And then once I have a server, I can do whatever I need on top of that, to run scripts to add my application. Cloud type B is a whole new model that was really born in the container space in Linux, mostly led up by Google. But this was, instead of ask for an entire server, how do I carve everything up into little processes? Or you just use process and schedule processes across the data center. So instead of thinking as a server, think in the context of your app and how you carve your app up into processes and put those processes in containers. So it's a different approach to software development, but also has implications on infrastructure and how things are built out and how they're consumed.
I would assume if we went into a typical enterprise running cloud computing today, what we would find is a Cloud A type of environment in most cases.
Yeah, so almost every enterprise, they're born on traditional physical servers. Even when they added in virtualization, they still was the concept of give me a server. So they're very familiar with the cloud type A model, which is really how even Amazon or most infrastructure as a service solutions work.
And when you think about the software stack, you probably have virtualization environments, running VMs, you have some sort of orchestrator control, but the application is the same application that existed on a physical server or in a physical virtual machine.
Exactly. Pretty much almost identical to what you would have on a physical system. There were some changes when Amazon and Netflix pushed the concept of design for failure,
mm-hmm.
where people started assuming, like, if that server went down, how would my app react? And
right.
That's when the first types of cloud-aware concepts were came to bear. But it was still very much give me a server, but realize that servers don't always stay on.
Obviously, Google and those who have approached the container-based architecture are seeing some benefit from breaking things up into processes that are run within containers. So tell me why this is a better model for highly efficient delivery of services within a data center.
First, it allows the application developers to be more efficient because they can abstract the infrastructure from them. So if they're building an application, for instance, they can build it on their laptop. They can actually carve up how the container is going to look, how the various pieces interact with each other, and then they can use some sort of orchestration to just push that to a giant infrastructure. And they can build the basic plumbing so that once it's on that giant infrastructure, it's still like it's on the laptop, but it can scale to thousands and thousands. So it brought that concept of build on my laptop up to the data center, which made them more efficient. For the infrastructure guys, it allows them to do more bin packing. So how can I use my infrastructure resources better? So the portability, the higher bin packing, and the instant startup time, those are both very attractive to basically everybody.
But when we look at the actual applications, it takes re-architecting those applications for that type of Cloud B type of environment.
Exactly. And that's why when we say Cloud for All, it's covering both those,
mm-hmm.
but realizing that they actually will merge in some scenarios, and maybe one will sit on top of the other, and depending on what's the predominant infrastructure and application model. What we see today in most environments is Cloud Type B is actually running on top of Cloud Type A. So a developer acquires a bunch of virtual machines, and then they use some sort of app orchestration tool, whether it's Kubernetes, Mesos, Docker Swarm, to basically carve up that server that they have now and use it as containers instead.
And what would drive that decision?
That's actually all driven by the software developers. You can almost think shadow IT or DevOps.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to wait. They're happy that they're now getting self-service from IT. They can acquire the infrastructure on demand. But for their next level of agility and the next level of productivity, they switch to a cloud type B model because they're hearing that's what all the cool kids are doing.
So within the Cloud for All initiative, what are the exciting things that we're doing there to enable broader proliferation of cloud type A for those enterprises and other customers who may not have self-service cloud running today?
So we're doing boring stuff and fun stuff. The boring stuff is we're fixing the plumbing. That's necessary, and it's something that we focus on a lot, is just how to get the basics foundation solid, how to make it resilient, how to make sure that there's no impact to the end users or the operators running it, how to make it low cost to actually run so you don't need a huge slew of professional services just to keep your cloud online. And then secondly, we're investing in things that usually only Intel can provide, like giant scale environments. And actually, this is probably one of the more exciting things,
mm-hmm.
is as I talk to people after they've heard about our Cloud for All announcement, the fact that we're setting up 2 1,000 node bare metal clusters kind of blows everybody's mind. I mean, of course, Google and Amazon have huge bare metal clusters, but they don't expose all that up to the community. So that's pretty exciting because we'll be able to use it to push the scaling limitations of Cloud Type A and really take it to its furthest extent.
And I would assume all that resiliency, reliability that we talk about within that environment is so critical because those applications were not designed to run without that level of support.
Exactly. They basically need always be on. While most IT shops take some sort of downtime, it's usually because of the app. They expect the infrastructure to always be running. They usually have active passive data centers even to make sure the infrastructure stays online if there's a failure. So there's a lot of investment in just keeping infrastructure on, and the app is built in that model. And rather than ask the people to change their app to just a slightly different Cloud Type A model, we'd rather they go full bore to Cloud Type B, switch to containers, switch to container orchestration, versus taking a small step to just design for failure.
When you look at resiliency and reliability and the attributes that we want to see for scalability and performance within an OpenStack environment, because OpenStack is a big focus for this area, where do you think the community is in terms of delivering this type of capability? And what is Intel doing either with broader community efforts or work with specific ecosystem partners to drive that code upstream so that it is in the standard distribution?
The community is fine. It's just not fast enough. We don't really feel like the industry can wait. We have 6-month cadence for releases of OpenStack. We need a lot of things to get in every 6 months. So basically, while we've been focused pretty heavily upstream with folks like Red Hat, Mirantis, and others already, the Cloud for All initiative is basically to double, triple down, quadruple down our focus and our partnerships in the community to make things resilient faster, make it so rolling upgrades are happening within 12 months, put things in a context of much sooner versus on some roadmap that's way out in the future. So
let's shift our focus to Cloud Type B. Why don't you tell us what we've got going on there?
Yeah, so Cloud Type B is small, but lots of interesting tech happening. So whether it's Mesos, which has been around for about 3 years, used by Twitter, Airbnb, Apple Siri, whether it's Kubernetes, which was really born about a year ago and just had the 1.0 launch just a couple of weeks ago, actually.
In Portland.
Yeah, up in Portland. It was nice. Cool party we had, too. And then you also have things like Docker Swarm, which are also taking container orchestration. So all these are focused on how do I orchestrate and schedule containers. And then there's the containers themselves. Right now you have the basics in Linux of C groups and LXC. Then you have Docker, who has their own runtime. You have CoreOS that has Rocket. And then you also have what we recently joined, which is the Open Container Initiative, which is how do we bring all these together into a standard through code.
Where do you think we are with enterprise deployment of containers? And do you see them fitting on top of Cloud Type A before they emerge next door to Cloud Type A?
Yeah, and it's actually already happening. And the IT infrastructure folks probably have no idea initially that their developers are using Docker, even though it originally wasn't supposed to be used in production. But I guarantee there's plenty of enterprises that have software developers already using Docker or CoreOS or Rocket today inside of their infrastructure running on top of a Cloud Type A.
Beyond working with the broader industry on coalescing these software stacks and bringing them to market, What is Intel's role in terms of the interplay between hardware and software?
I mean, a lot of the work that we're doing is just to further technology for the world, right? We see innovation happening as we further technology. But of course, we always want to make that technology better by using our best assets. And some of the examples is today we shared CoreOS had their Rocket 0.8 release. Inside of that, we've taken Intel virtualization technology, Intel VT, and we basically connect that into a Rocket orchestrated container. We're doing very similar things with Docker right now. And what that gives us is containers are basically for performance isolation. And now we're bringing together the benefit of our hardware for security isolation, something we've had in hypervisors. So we basically go through all of our hardware value and see how can we help some of these software stacks benefit from it. Because usually they're very busy just on the software. And so we can definitely go in and help them. Another one is with Mesos, where we're looking at our low-level performance telemetry and understanding when there's a degradation in instructions per cycle. So basically, how is our server slowing down and how fast it can do instructions? And is that causing a problem because how loaded the node is? And we can actually react to that because we can see it, and then we help the scheduler make better decisions. So there's numerous areas like those that we're basically bringing the intelligence of the hardware, instruction sets, or capabilities up into the software stack.
When you look out into the future, when do you know we're going to be successful?
When we stop talking about it? I'm just kidding. It just becomes normal. It's how you do computing. And we'll be working on the next tough challenge that we haven't even thought of yet.
Well, Doss, it's always a pleasure having you on the program. Hope to have you back soon to learn more about our engagement with the cloud software arena.
Awesome. Thanks, Allison.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/chipchat. And for more information on data center technologies, visit intel.com/bigdata, intel.com/cloud, and intel.com/datacenteroptimization.